Certainly good to be back on a Wednesday night, new year. I'm grateful for the subject that was assigned to me, asking for wisdom from God. I want you to look at a passage in James chapter 1, verse 5. James 1, verse 5. Asking for wisdom from above or from God. The Bible says in James 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Interesting, in the book of James, wisdom is practically described in chapter 3. I want you to notice how this wisdom is from above, or from God, and not from the earth. Two different contrasts here of wisdom. James 3, 13 through 18. Now notice verse 13. Who is the wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Well, this is a wise man with knowledge. But notice also the wisdom here referred is in verse 17 from that which is from above. So the wisdom that we're talking about is indeed from God, and it's the wisdom that we're asking for. It comes from God, which is above, principally speaking. Now, I think it's interesting in the book of James that wisdom here is described in the sense of what is wisdom from above and what is not wisdom from above. And in fact, if you'll notice there in James 3, the wisdom that is not from above, in verse 15 of James 3, is called earthly, sensual, and devilish, but it is described as wisdom. It says, this wisdom descends not from above. So you've got a contrast of perhaps what people might think is wise and that which is not, according to God. So notice there just briefly, verses 13 through 18, some things that identify the wisdom from above. By a man, in verse 13, that is endued with knowledge. So this would be a wise man. He is a man that out of a good conversation or manner of life demonstrates his works with meekness. A meekness or strength under control that is defined in this very book. In chapter 3, you'll see how meekness is described, how one harnesses the tongue. When the tongue is bridled, when the tongue is controlled, then that person is a wise person. Notice here again, this wisdom there that is good is a wisdom, again, that is not bitter, does not envy. That's verse 14. It's not a strifeful wisdom or action from the heart. Don't lie against the truth if you think that that's wisdom. That's not wisdom at all. That's the wisdom of verse 15 that is earthly and sensual and devilish. I think it's interesting that that wisdom there from the earth is such that is full of jealousy or envying in verse 16. And that strife produces confusion and every evil work. So congregations that suffer with division, like perhaps the congregations here that were being addressed through hypocrisy. If you look at chapter 2, they were being hypocritical with the rich and the poor. They were favoring the rich and they were despising the poor. So you had a very unwise situation here. But the wisdom there in verse 17, again, that is described, that is from above, from God, that we're praying for, and I'll come back to this in just a second, is pure, as I know was described in Sunday's lessons. It is peaceable. Notice it is peaceable. It is gentle. It's easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy and good fruits. It's not harsh and, again, showing partiality. It's not judgmental. It's not critical. It's kind, would be the implications here. And so, therefore, he says it's not hypocritical. And so he says in verse 18, this wise person sows the fruit of righteousness in peace, thus making peace. This is a wise person. You can go into chapter 4 there and see where the, I suppose, wisdom of the world there, that earthly, sensual, devilish wisdom, creates fightings, divisions, war. And notice it's all about lust there in verse 1 of chapter 4. You lust, verse 2, and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You're not a contented person, as we just discussed in the Bible class with the rich young ruler. You fight and war, and you still have not because you ask not. Notice again here in verse 3. Now this gets me back to chapter 1. You ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. I suppose people pray because they're lustful people. But notice now chapter 1, verse 5. The question is, how do we attain this wisdom? In verse 5 of chapter 1, again, there is this question. If you lack wisdom, and if you lack wisdom, then you fall into the category here that we just described. Lustful, sensual, devilish, earthly, divisive, warmongering, confusing, non-peaceful, all of those things. Remember, wisdom is and is not in this book. And you need to pray for it. I had someone tell me one time that this is a direct thing from God, that it does not require any action on our part. Well, that's not true because he says to pray, and pray requires action on my part. And so I said that to him. I said, well, that's not true because I have to pray for it, so that means I have to do something. But then notice also here this wisdom that is given to us from above to the man that can be wise is given unhypocritically and liberally to all that ask. But then notice it's not given to the one that's double-minded in chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. It's given to the one that asks in faith in verse 6. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Well, in order to be faithful, you have to know the will of God. Romans 10:17, of course, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Ephesians 5:17-18 says, be not ignorant, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5, 4 and 5 says, whereby when I read, I may understand. So you see, a wise man in chapter 3 of this book in James is a man that's endued with knowledge. So a wise man yet would pray for it, but he would also be endued with the knowledge from on high. So that brings me to the second point here. It's not given to me miraculously without doing anything. In chapter 1, verse 21, a wise man is an understanding man. Remember chapter 3, verse 13, a wise man is an understanding man. Well, how is he understanding? Well, in chapter 1, verse 21, notice this meekness here, again, applied to receiving the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. You see, in order to receive the wisdom from above by first praying for it, I've got to then also receive it. How do I receive it in chapter 1, verse 21? Surely we don't believe by mere osmosis. That would make us quite robotic, I would think. But then look at then the third point. You've got to pray for it and not be double-minded. Pray for it and receive it. And you've got to pray for it and be doers of it. Now having received it because you're meek, look at chapter 1 and verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You see, a wise man, according to chapter 3, is a man that's endued with knowledge from on high, a wisdom that comes from above. He's a wise man because he has prayed for it, he has received it, and he is doing it. And he's making no excuse about it. I think it's important that we consider that, again, wisdom that's in contrast in chapter 3, that is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Many people today think that their earthly desires, though shrewd as they might be, as mean as they might come, is a sense of wisdom because they're always winning in the world. But that's not the wisdom that I read about in the Bible. This wisdom is peaceable. And so as a final thought, I think that this is a perfect illustration of a wise man, and it's no accident that we read about it in James chapter 4. Look at verses 13 through 17. This is a wise man right here. And if you read through the book of James, this will all be clear. Who is a wise man? Look at verse 13 of chapter 4. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy, sell, and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. This is a wise man right here, verse 17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, doeth it not, to him it is sin. But the obvious contrast is the man that knows to do good and does it is a wise man. Because I've prayed for it, I'm not double-minded, I've received it, I'm therefore an understanding man, and I'm a doer of it. And if I do it and keep on doing it, then I'll be a wiser man. And I'll give credit and glory all to God for all the wisdom he has blessed me with through the trial of my faith. And that's interesting because in James chapter 1, that's what he's talking about there. The trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work. If you need more patience, keep praying. Need more wisdom, keep receiving it. You need more patience, keep doing it. And I assure you, as you do the will of the Lord, you will grow and be more patient. I have one prayer of many, but one in particular is that I will be a wiser and a smarter and more humble, a kinder, a better doer of the will of the Lord the older I get. So that when I grow up, I will not be a bitter old cantankerous man, but I'll be maybe a good elder in the church one day or someone that's serving God because he loves God and he loves you. And that's the, again, greatest thing I could ever desire for. Because all the treasures of this life mean nothing. But the treasures of the life to come mean everything. And so we want to be wise, don't we? So we need to pray and be wise because God will give it to us. And I believe that. So maybe you're here and you need more wisdom and you'd like for us to pray for you. We can help you with that. But you need to get rid of the double-minded hypocrisy-ness, you know, that in your life. You've got to get rid of that because that man will receive nothing, the Bible says. Think not that he will receive anything. But the man that, again, is not double-minded and faithful, there's, again, great opportunity with you. And so we can help you. We'll pray for you regardless because that's our duty as Christians, to keep praying for our brethren. If you're here, you never obeyed the gospel, the greatest and wisest choice you'll ever make in your life is to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And if you believe, then you're willing to repent of your sins and confess Christ before men publicly and be immersed in water, baptized for the remission of your sins. You can become a Christian, a child of God tonight, to walk in a newness of life as you will arise out of that watery grave of baptism, a new person. And that's the gospel invitation. If we can help you become a wise person this evening, won't you let us know? Then as together we stand and we sing, won't you come?